Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on. Hey, it's so great to be with you this morning. And in the third or second or last time in this campus, not quite sure what it is, right, in this particular location, I'm hoping at your next location you get a bigger screen. Because, like, this is a little, you know, come on, really. I hope it's at least double this size. But it's fantastic to be with you. Your senior pastors, Jürgen and Leanne, are great friends of ours. We admire them greatly. They've been in our church a number of times. Pastor Leanne is coming to preach at our women's conference in a few weeks' time, which is great. And so it's just a delight to be with you here today. Pastor Drew and Emma, it's great to be with you. Exactly, I remember these guys when they lived about an hour down the road. And I would visit their church and they'd come up preaching our youth. And you got great campus pastors. Why don't you put your hands together for them? They're just great people. I'd love to introduce you to my beautiful wife, Danielle. Why don't you stand up, babe? Pastor Danielle. And she... together pastors a church with me and helps oversee our region. And then she used to be a midwife, a baby delivering midwife, so she has a deliverance ministry. Now, come on, work with me. It's Father's Day, so some dad's jokes are allowed here today, right? If you're good, I might share some with you a little bit later on. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. All the dads, come on, we do a great job. All the dads... We look after our kids and our families. Hey, guys, you've done a fantastic job. You can grab your seat. Give their band a big hand. They've done awesome. I love being a dad. We were sharing some stories. Chris was driving us here and sharing some stories. I don't know. How many people have got cats? Have we got any cat lovers in the house? We know that cats go to hell and dogs go to heaven, but we've got two cats and we've got one dog. And every now and then our cat will bring in, like one of our cats is a hunter. So he'll bring in the dead, he'll kill a bird, he'll kill a rat, he'll kill a mouse, he'll kill whatever, like a lizard, a legless lizard, like it's not a snake, but like a lead. And he'll start like, meow, make this terrible noise, like come and have a look at what I've done. So who knows, that the dad's job is to clean up the mess. So one day I went and it's like the cat started going off and I looked and it's disgusting. There's a rat on our beautiful tile floors. And, you know, Danielle and I've got a younger daughter, Gemma, are freaking out. And I'm like, of course, it's dad's job. We get the spiders, we get the dead rats, the dead birds. I went over and shoveled it up and it jumped off. It wasn't dead. It jumped off. Everyone freaked out and went absolutely crazy. I'm banging away with the shovel to get the rat out of the house. This is what we do as dads, right? We protect the house. So come on, give all the dads another big round of applause. We're awesome. We're awesome. Hey, just to introduce us a little bit, Danielle and I have three kids. We've got three teenagers, actually. Pray for us. Three teenagers, 19, 17, our two oldest boys. And then we have a daughter who's just turned 14. She's gorgeous. And one of the scriptures that we've had always is that your children will be like vigorous young olive plants around the table. And we've always prayed that over our kids. Probably prayed it a little too much because vigorous has become the description of our kids. Even from a very young age, if you've got boys, you'll know what this is like. But even from a very young age, our kids, one day at like 4 o'clock in the morning, our second son, he's 2.5 or 3 years old, runs into our bedroom, like really upset, really early in the morning, like, what's going on? And he's like, he's upset. And he's going, hey, what's going on? And I said, Mitch, what's the problem? And he goes, Just had a bad dream. And he walks out and goes out and then he bursts into tears. I'm like, there's something wrong here. What's going on? So I hop out of the bed. I go to his bedroom. I realize, what was he, 3 years old or something? just four years old, he'd climbed up in the in our pantry, got the matches down, been practicing lighting the matches on his bed. He lit his whole bedroom on fire. A bad dream, all right. So I'm like, Dan, don't panic, Danielle, don't panic, but we've got a fire in our house that swept through just the bed and the carpet and the walls, and we put it out. And then afterwards, he's like, he didn't know what to say. You know what, when kids don't know what to say, he's like, well, we've never had a fire in our house, have we, Dad? I'm like, oh, no, we haven't, and we won't be again. And Dad administered the beautiful art of discipline, and we haven't had a fire since. So, well, vigorous young olive plants. I could tell you lots of stories about my kids. They're crazy. Just one more. Our older boy, who's been a boundary pusher since he's been a young kid, like since he's been about this high, he's been a boundary pusher. And one day, we're pastors. Our neighbors aren't Christians, and this my son and his friends are pulling palings off the fence, you know, like just between our house and the neighbor's house, just walking down. I don't know what got into him. He's just pulling palings off the fence. Like, do you have palings here? No, okay, like strips, like it's timber strips, all right? They just go along, pull them off, go along, pull them off. Driving them, and then the neighbors came and corrected them, and then the pastor's kids yelled abuse and told them some very not Christian words at our neighbors. He's like 6 or 7 years old. He got that from his mother, that particular side of thing. That's not my side, that's her side, that's her people. And anyway, so then another night, I get a banging at the door. I go, what's going on? From this angry neighbor. He's like, where's your kid? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to discipline him. Well, what's going on? I realize I didn't know. We'd put him to bed. But he's been outside getting toilet paper, putting it in methylated spirits, and throwing it at the windows of the neighbor's house, hitting the windows. And then he goes back and acts like a little angel in bed, and the neighbor, and then he freaked out because I said, what did he say to you? He said, oh, he's going to tear my skin off. The neighbor yelled at him, I'm going to come and skin you alive, little boy. Anyway, living in the pastor's house is always very exciting in our area. So we've got some vigorous young olive plants. So I deserved my Father's Day gift today. It's Father's Day in September in Australia, so I'm doubling up. I'm making the most of this. Going to really enjoy it. And so look, it's so great to be with you. Just as I was preparing yesterday for this message, I was sort of like, Lord, what am I going to talk about? What do you want to say to South Campus? The presence of God just, boom, came in where I was praying. And God very quickly downloaded to me something specific. So it's not a message I've preached before, but something specific that I believe is a prophetic message for you at this campus, all right? And I was thinking about the thoughts that it's going to be like the last or second last or third last or however long it is. I know this feeling. It's better to wait until everything's sorted before moving, because we moved from one building to another building. And then after about 5 weeks, the local council came along, the local government came along and said, you're not compliant. We had to go back for 4 or 5 weeks. That was really bad. So you better to get it all done up front and then move, all right? But so just seeing that this is like you're in the moments of the close of a chapter here in your church, okay? It's really exciting. And I began, the Lord took me to Malachi chapter 4, or if you're Italian, Malachi chapter 4, okay? But Malachi chapter 4. And it was the last chapter of the Old Testament. And the New Testament was hundreds of years away, but it was the close of one chapter and the beginning of a new chapter. And God spoke to my heart about preaching to you about a new day dawns. A new day is dawning. It's not just a physical move that you're moving from one building to another move. There's always something spiritual attached to moves, buildings, and locations, okay? A new day dawns, and Malachi chapter 4 was the last chapter of the Old Testament. I'm going to read it out. I'm going to pick up three particular things in it. And it says this, the Lord of heaven's army says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. It's talking about the coming of Jesus and then the final coming of Jesus. But you who fear my name, that's us. You who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, his name is Jesus, will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. Love that. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, and all the decrees and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai for all Israel. Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah, which is talking about John the Baptist, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives, his preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I'll come and strike the land with a curse. Now, this is a prophetic message to Israel about the coming of Jesus in hundreds of years, that it would be a great day for those who were looking to God. For those who would look to God, there would be some amazing things that would happen. It talked about Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, would rise with healing in his wings. And there's three particular words out of this that I felt like God said are going to mark South Campus in the future. And here's the three words. The first one is healing. I believe that this church, this particular campus, and of course the whole of C3 San Diego, but this campus is going to be marked for healing. Spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. It goes on and says, and you will go free. I believe that freedom is going to be a marker of this church. Oh, so we're talking about healing. We're talking about freedom. And then it says, the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children and the children to the fathers. That speaks about restoration. And I believe family restoration is also going to be a mark of this campus. That husbands and wives will be restored. Fathers and children, grandfathers and grandchildren, children with their parents, brothers and sisters will be restored in the presence and the house of God. Yeah. And so I want to talk to you around these three particular things, the idea of healing. And when it says the Son of Righteousness, it's talking about Jesus. It is a new day dawning that's coming for the church, he's saying, and for the people of Israel, but it's a new day dawning for you. The Son of Righteousness coming with healing. I love physical miracles. I hear there's miracles happening here all the time. I see it expanding and enlarging to another level. We've had an outbreak of healing over the years, but particularly the last 6 months in our church. There would be every Sunday, there would be a physical healing in our church. Every Sunday, someone would see a supernatural healing. I want to just tell you about a couple. There was a lady who 20 years ago in childbirth had had an epidural, and something had gone wrong, and for 20 years consistently she had had a constant head pain, right in the middle of her head. She couldn't shift it. Drugs wouldn't do anything about it. She'd had a few spinal taps to try and deal with this constant pain in her head. She'd been following Jesus but couldn't seem to get a breakthrough. She came to the service one day, and just in a moment, we just had a word of knowledge, someone's got pain in their head. She came out and she said in an instant the pain left. She couldn't believe it. She was like cartwheeling everywhere. We've seen numerous occasions of that. We've seen numerous occasions of people who would have migraines 5 or 6 times a week for as long as they could remember, have been prayed for, and the Son of Righteousness has risen over their life, and they haven't had a migraine since because of the power of God setting them free. One of my favorites is a lady in our church called Pip. And she's about 70 years old. She got saved because when we were early days, we paid her to come and be the nanny for the kids because we didn't have enough workers to be a nanny on a Sunday night. So she came and looked after the children. And then after we got the volunteers, she said, can I come to church? I love the atmosphere and the friendliness. And so she got saved. And anyway, I didn't know this, but 20 years earlier, she was, as a baby nanny, she was looking after some little child, and someone had cleaned the floor. It was still wet. She slipped over. As she slipped over, she slammed one hit on the bench, the bathroom bench, and then the other hip, because she's protecting the baby, she slammed on the floor, and she slammed the other hip on the floor. So for 20 years, she had constant pain in her hips. She said, I couldn't turn over in bed without being in pain. It was hard to get out of bed. It was hard to walk. It was just constantly in pain. And again, one day I had a word of knowledge. There's someone here. God showed me, you got pain in your hip. Come on out the front. She comes out the front, and we prayed for her, and the presence of God just came right then. And at that moment, she described it later. She said, it was like, do you have deep heat here? Like a Denka rub or a rub? What do we call it? Icy light. Okay, AC light. You know what I'm talking about anyway, all right. Okay, so she said, it was like they put this stuff in my hips and they got really, really hot. Really, really hot, which is one of the markers of healing, right? Well, so I go up to her afterwards and she goes, Pastor, my hips, they've like, since you prayed for them, they're hot. And I'm like, okay, Pip's hot hips, this is awesome. They're really hot, and the pain is, and she's like, touch them, feel how hot they are. I'm like, I'm not touching your hips. I'm a man of God. That would be a terrible look right now for me to tell you. I know you're 70, but I can't do that. And so she said right through that day, and then at 5 o'clock, the heat left. And she's like, oh, no, the heat's gone. But the pain left. And she's since then absolutely no pain after 20 years. You should see her bouncing around church on fire. So multiple miracles of people who have had accidents, people who have endometrio. I've got to get that right. Endometriosis. Anyway, my wife. It's not ISIS. That would be bad, wouldn't it? My wife is a nurse. So I kind of, when God speaks to me about something, I always stuff it up. And then she says, "No, it's not that. It's this." And I'm like, "Okay, well, as long as God heals it, I don't care if we name it right or wrong." But it's just a continual thing. You know, here's the thing for you. Why does Jesus heal? Why did he heal? And to me, it was one of the marks of Jesus' ministry. When he came because people had the wrong concept of who God is. And so he came to show them that God is not he's not in the sky going, "You criminal, you're terrible." Like, you know, often I think people think God's like the policeman with the radar gun, just waiting for you to speed to give you a ticket. They think God, and if you're a policeman here today, that's okay. But if, you know, that's cool. But often people think that's God. He's waiting for you to just step out of line so he can go bam, bam, bam. And it's not God. And so when Jesus came, he came to show us, hey, this is not what my Father's like. This is not who we're like. If you've got pain, I'm going to heal you. I want to show you that he's good, that he's kind, that he's loving. And then the second thing that he did that for is that the Bible tells us because it showed us that he had the power to forgive sins. Because physical sickness is one thing, right? Physical sickness is a challenge. It affects our life. But do you know, you can go to heaven even if you're in a wheelchair. You can go to heaven if you're spiritually right. And the physical thing was a pointer that Jesus was the Savior of the world. It was a sign that pointed to Christ, who would come and say, you know what? The ultimate problem with humanity is not just physical sickness. That's a side problem. That's a consequence of spiritual sickness. And our spiritual sickness is what cuts us off from God. And Jesus came and said, I'm not just here to heal your physical conditions. I'm here to heal them because God loves you. But I want you to know that I have the power to heal the sickness of your spirit. Your spirit is cut off from God. And when you turn to Christ and put your faith in him, then something happens. And that spiritual sickness that cuts us off from God gets healed because of the power of the cross. So I believe for our churches that we should be marked by physical healing. We should be marked by emotional healing. We should be marked ultimately by salvation. And if you're here today and you've never actually turned to God, maybe that spiritual sickness that we call it sin, it's basically where we walk our own way and live life our own way. And that cuts us off from God. And Jesus came so that just in a moment, not with 25 years of church attendance, but in a moment, if we would just change our mind, change our heart and go, God, instead of walking away from you, you've showed me your love by sending your son. So I'm just going to turn back to you and believe in you. And in that moment, all of the spiritual sickness, what cuts us off from God, the Bible says we're born again. We become brand new. We begin this amazing relationship with God. And if that's you today, if you're not right with God, if you're separated from God, at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you for you to connect with Jesus Christ, because that would be life transforming. Is that cool today? Healing is what God's got for us. Healing is part of the promises for all of us. So I believe healing is going to be a marker of this church as a new day rises at a whole new level. The second thing I talked about, and I love this picture of them running like calves free out into the paddock over all of their enemies. It's like the enemies would be like into dust and they would run over them. And I believe freedom is a marker of what God is wanting to do in this church at a whole new level. Freedom. Freedom, freedom. What does freedom look like? Well, freedom can look like so many different things. When Isaiah 61 talked about Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord was on him to preach good news, to heal up the brokenhearted. That's healing for our emotional world. Jesus wants to heal our emotional world. When our spiritual life gets right, it begins to flow and ooze into all of us. That's my heart. My heart starts to get healed. I learn to love and be loved again. I learn to forgive and be transformed in my emotional world. Well, that then flows into other areas. It goes on, it says, and he'll open the prison doors and he'll set the captive free. So he'll heal brokenhearted, but he'll open prison doors and he'll set captives free. What does that look like? Well, opening prison doors is quite awesome. Open prison door is pretty much where you just go, you open the door, and if someone's in there, they just can walk straight out because the prison door has been opened. And many of us through our life, through things that have been thrown at us, stuff we've done, stuff that have been done to us, we've attracted spirits that will keep us closed down, shut down, emotionally weighed down. And with that spiritual life, here's the amazing thing. In a moment, with the power of the name of Jesus, with the authority of Christ, in a moment, something that people have suffered for years, in a moment, the door can be open and they can just walk out in an instant. There are some things that Christ wants to set us free in an instant. It's like a nail's been driven in and we pull the nail out and you're like, whoa, I can't believe I put up with that for so long. I can't believe I lived under that for so long. Two Sundays ago in our church, the Lord spoke to me and said that there'd be someone in the back third row who had been tormented by sickness and oppression and depression for a number of years and he wanted to set her free. So I put the call out and here's this girl in the back row. It's her second time at church. Her mum had been coming to our church for years. She didn't know it was our church when some friends invited her to this church, and then her mum finds out it's her church. Anyway, she's sitting in the back row, Taylor, and so she comes out and she says, yeah, for 5 years I've had chronic fatigue. I've lost most of my friends apart from two friends who stuck with me. I've had to get around school in a wheelchair because I've been so sick. I've been depressed. I've been anxious. I've had vertigo. I've had all these conditions. And so in a moment, okay, here's the freedom is coming out of a prison that you've been imprisoned in. In a moment, we prayed in the name of Jesus. We took authority over that spirit that had been tormenting her, and she got delivered. She got set free. She said, it was like I was walking in mud all the time, and then suddenly I'm no longer walking in mud, and I'm light, and I'm excited, and I'm joyful. That's freedom. That's the moment. God wants to do it. Another guy not long ago in our church, about 4 months ago, 5 years of chronic fatigue, and in a moment, he walked out of what had been a prison cell for his life, okay? Can I tell you that freedom is what Christ wants to do in our churches? He wants to do it in this place. But there's two kinds of freedom. One is where the prison door is opened, but the other is, it says, and he'll set the captives free. So the prison door opening is easy because boom, there it is open, the name of Jesus. I was there and now I'm out. And I'm not, even though something's trying to draw me back in there, I know I've got my authority, I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm not going back to that place. But then captivity is where you were literally transported into another land. And you lived in like an Egypt. You lived in another place and you were held captive and you lost your identity. And for years, like the children of Israel were raised and they developed a slave mentality. They didn't know any better. And God wanted to lead them out of captivity into a promised land. And there are certain things in our life that are like a nail that in a moment, the power of God comes on us and we get set free. But there are other things and that we've been captive to and we've thought away a certain way for so long. The journey to freedom is a progressive journey. It's a confessing the word of God journey. It's getting around the right people. I used to have these addictions around my life. And I used to, the big problem was the thinking in my mind. And so I had to get my thinking sorted out so that I wouldn't go back to that place. And that's a journey. That's a captivity for me. I grew up with a chronic poverty mentality. Chronic poverty mentality. Thinking that it was going to be godly to be close. Like godliness was poverty. I'd take a vow of poverty. That kind of religious upbringing. That somehow I would impress God if I didn't have any money. So I'd wear clothes from what we call a secondhand shop, and I would wear them almost as a mark of pride that I didn't have the really nice clothes. And I drove an old car, and it was like a mark for me. I must be impressing God. And that was a captivity mindset. The Bible calls it a doctrine of demons because it makes you think that you can earn God's favor through your poverty. And it's wrong thinking. It's religious thinking, all right? But I had that for years. And I had to go on a progressive journey of looking at what does the Bible say about money. And I found that the Bible is nowhere in the Bible that says God wants me to be poor. He tells me he wants me to help the poor but not be the poor. And the best way to help the poor is to not be one of them. So I read that, and then I read all these. So I went on this journey, I find all these scriptures that says God wants to prosper me. He wants to bless me. He wants me to be, he delights in my prosperity. I read all of these scriptures, and then I found some that didn't say he wanted me to be poor. He just wanted me not to trust in riches, not to put my confidence in riches, to put my trust in God. And so I had to go on a journey that's been a 20-year journey out of the captivity of thinking to get more and more of the Word of God into my thought life. And maybe for some of you today, that's the freedom journey that God wants you to go. It might not be about money. It might be about your self-identity. It might be about about family life, because of the upbringing that you've seen. Family has been a certain way, or marriage has been a certain way, or fatherhood has been a certain way. And so that's a captivity, an old mindset. It took 20 years to get you into that. So it might take a number of years. Rather than a nail, it's more like a screw. You've got to unscrew it, unscrew it, unscrew it. How do you unscrew that thing? You unscrew that thing by being with God's people. When Jesus brought Lazarus, I love this, right? When Jesus brought Lazarus out of the grave, a word from Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he comes forth. And he's standing there with grave clothes all around him. He's got these white, you know, just been wrapped around him, all like he's the mummy. He's the original mummy, right? And he's standing there with grave clothes all around him. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Loose him and let him go." It's in John 11. Loose him and let him go. This is what freedom often looks like. Sometimes it's the word of Christ that's spoken to us that brings us alive spiritually. Come forth. Get born again today. Like some people in this room are going to come alive spiritually to God, all right? You're going to come alive to him. That's one thing that's going to happen. But then, notice this. It was a word from Jesus that brought him spiritually alive, but Lazarus could not get himself free. He needed some other people around him. You loose him and let him go. You get with him and let him go. And so someone had to come off, and they had to take the stuff off his head. Sometimes we got to get to Connect Group this week, because someone in Connect Group is going to take some old thinking off my mind. Someone in Connect Group is going to help me get out of some old pathways that I would walk on, and they need to help unwrap me. Someone's going to unwrap some behaviors that I'm used to doing, and they're going to unwind that from me. And it's not me, and it's not just Jesus. It's someone coming alongside of me and loosing me and letting me go free. Maybe after the service today, I know there's a team here, right, to pray for people. Maybe you've been struggling with some stuff, and I don't know if you can make an appointment today or for next time, but I tell you, we need people to minister to us, to get us free from all of that rubbish, all of that stuff that we think was normal. We're like, oh, I've grown up like this, I've seen this, I went to this, I think it's normal. And often we have a problem with the church that's representing Jesus kind of church in the Bible, because the church we came from maybe represented not Jesus kind of church, just a whole lot of traditions. And we need someone to loose us. Loose that stuff, loose that religious stuff off me and set me free. I love this thought. Sometimes people go, oh, you just go to church. They go to church, they're brainwashing you. Oh, they're just brainwashing you. That's what they're doing. I'm like, mate, just if for a moment you could just see some of my thoughts. Some of my thoughts. If you could just see some of my thoughts about me. Some of my pride. If you could see some of my selfishness. If you could see some of my anger. If you could see, you'd know I desperately need my brain to be washed. I need my mind to be renewed. I want to be brainwashed, baby. I want to be transformed by the Word of God. That's what I want. Freedom, healing and freedom, healing and freedom, breaking off addictions, breaking off old patterns in our life. What about the last one? It's restoration. This church, this campus coming into a new day is dawning of healing, of freedom and restoration. Restoration, fathers' hearts turn to their children, children's hearts turn to their fathers, husbands' hearts turn to their wives, wives' hearts turn to their husbands. Dad's getting a heart for family where they were about to walk away. Dad's starting to treat families all different ways. How does that happen? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, coming with healing. I've got a great couple in our church who become good friends of ours, and he's a giant guy. He played in Australia. We play rugby. It's like your football, but without the padding and the helmets. Okay, and I won't say it's harder. It's just different. And so he played football at a high level. He was a man's man, but he was a rat bag. He was unfaithful. He mistreated his kids. And anyway, one day they're lying in bed, and her family had, there's, you know, stories of her dad and grandfather had both murdered people. So there was a murderous spirit in the family. And one night they wake up in bed, and she looks at him and with a man's voice growls, "I'm going to kill you." And he's like, "This is not good." and she had all this strength of a number of men throwing him, and they're freaking out, and so they start to pray. They're not Christians, but someone who at their work is praying for him. He's the most unlikely guy to get saved, but someone from his work is praying for him that the Son of Righteousness would rise in his life, he'd meet Christ. So of course, when this happens, he starts to talk to this guy. He's like, he's a pretty straight Christian guy, but he just starts to talk to him. This is what's going on. So they bring them to church. They go to a traditional church, and in the middle of the service, she starts to manifest, and chairs start just going everywhere. It's an Anglican church. They don't know what's hit them. And they're like, oh my goodness. And fortunately, the pastor knew what, and so they had some prayer ministry to help her get free. And then after a little while, he ended up at our church, and he went through this series of transformation in his life. But can I tell you, one of the greatest transformations in his life, he has become an incredible husband, and he's become an incredible dad. And I've watched it, and I see them with tears in their eyes going, thank you for modeling marriage. Thank you for honoring your wife. Thank you for loving your kids, because it flows through from generation to generation. This is the restoration that God wants to release into your lives. And I can see it. I can sense it already in the atmosphere. But I can tell you, it's getting ready to multiply. Families are going to be transformed. These guys, I think they led about 30 or 40 of their families, brothers and sisters and friends and mums and dad, to Christ, just because of the transformation in their lives. This is what transformation will do in our lives. And as we come to a close, just in a few minutes, I want to pray for someone in a moment, and then when we're done, if we're able to make room to pray for some people for healing once the service is done, then we'd love to pray for anyone who wants healing. Danielle, particularly if you're not able to have kids and you'd like to have kids, she has a real anointing on her to pray for people to see that released. Also, if you're pregnant and you'd love prayer as a pregnant mum for your baby, she'd love to pray with you. Not to deliver it right now, please. Okay, but just for the touch of God on your pregnancy and the birth, we'd love to do that in this place. So first of all, can I get us just to close our eyes right across this place? If I could get a keyboardist to come, that would be so good. Thank you. Father, I just thank you for your incredible love for us. I thank you for what you're doing here in C3 San Diego South. Lord, I thank you for every person that's in this room right now, that you know their story, you know their fears, you know their challenges. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would touch hearts. Lord, to those who are far from you right now, I pray that you would touch their heart and draw them back. Just while every eye is closed in this place, maybe you're sitting here today, maybe you came with a friend, maybe you've come along a few times, maybe it's been a number of months, maybe it's your first Sunday, I don't know. I don't know everybody here, but I'll be pretty confident that in this place today, there's some people here and you don't have a personal relationship with God. A relationship that's marked by love, a relationship that's marked by power that's transformed your life and transforming your life. I'm not talking about just a dead religion, you have to come to church, tick the box, go home. I'm talking about a relationship with the God who created you and who loves you, who sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin. And today, he's wondering, would you open the door of your heart and let him come in? God doesn't barge into our life. We have to invite him in. He knocks, but we have to invite him. The fact that you're here today means that God's interested in you. He's working circumstances around you because he loves you so much and he wants to transform your life today. But you've got to respond to him. And in a moment, I'm going to ask if you're saying, John, yeah, I really would like to invite God into my life. Something's missing. I'm just rudderless. I'm going around in circles. I've got no purpose. I don't have a sense of love. I'm choked up by my past. And I'd like to be transformed by this God who loves me. In a moment, if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. And if I'm going to get you to raise your hand in a moment. Or maybe you're saying, yeah, look, I once had a relationship with God. I once walked with God. I once was in a church, maybe a youth group or a Sunday school or children's church or something. But you slipped away from God. You didn't stop believing in him, but you slipped away from him. And you know your heart's not right with God today. You're far from God. And today, God is calling you to come back to him. In a moment, if that's you, I'd love you to raise your hand. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just not sure if when you die, you're going to go to heaven. You hope so because you believe God's real. But can I tell you, believing God's real is not what gets you to heaven. None of us can be good enough. It's only what Jesus did that makes us right. And if you don't have a confidence in your heart, a peace about eternity, then I would love to pray for you so you can be sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, if that's you. So right now, while every eye's closed, if this is you, you're saying, John, I want to begin that relationship with God. Something's missing in my life. Or I want to come back to Christ because I've drifted away from Him. He's not number one anymore. I want to come back. Or I want to be sure I'm going to heaven right now, wherever you are. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need God right now. Wherever you are, just raise up your hand. Say, that's me. Fantastic. Would you raise it up real high? Thank you. Thank you so much, man. That's awesome. I see your hand. You can put that down. Who else is there right now? So you're saying, yeah, I need God today, wherever you are, up the front, up the back, wherever you are, if you're saying, that's me, I need God in my life. I need to connect with God. I need to come back to God. If that's you, thanks, man, I see your hand, that's awesome. You can put your hand down, that's awesome. Who else is there right now? I'm going to wait just another few moments. If you're here today and you're saying, that's me. I used to walk with God, but I've drifted. I need to come back to Him. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? You're saying, John, I need Christ. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? All right, fantastic. Can I get us together just while our eyes are closed? I want you to pray this prayer after me. And those who raised your hands, I want you to pray this from your heart to God. As you're praying this, you're inviting Him into your life. So can we all pray this together? Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus, that He died on a cross for me and for my sin. I'm turning to you today to follow you with all my heart. I believe in Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and the power of God. I thank you today that I am forgiven, that I'm born again, that I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go on, give the Lord a clap. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Those of you who raised your hand, fantastic. Fantastic. We've got about 4 minutes to go right now, and I just would love to pray for at least one person here. I felt like God showed me as I was praying, there's someone here and you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident, and you've got ongoing physical problems because of that accident. Who's that today? Because I'd love to pray for you. Who's that person? Where are you today? Can you come down the front? I'd love to pray for you right now. We're just going to take a few moments together. There's more than one, or pray for more than one, but I can't quite see too much. Power of the Holy Spirit. Faith rises in this house together. Hello. How are you going? I'm John. What's your name?
Felicia,
do you come to this church normally, Felicia?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. How long ago did you have a car accident?
About 5 weeks ago.
About 5 weeks ago. Okay, and you're in pain?
My rib was twisted and in my back. Yep. My hips got shifted this way, and so I have pain in my hips. And when I walk, my knees, I'm in pain in my
pain. All right. In your back. Well, just close your eyes. The power of God's here. Church, just reach your hands out to Felicia right now. Now, I want you just to breathe in, Felicia. You don't need to pray. You just relax. Touch of heavens here. Oh, Holy Ghost, I thank you for your power that's here right now. The power of God's here to touch you right now. Father, I pray. I come in the name of Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus against the pain, the affliction in Felicia's body as a result of this accident and the trauma. I come against every demonic assignment spirit. Loose her now, in Jesus' name. Loose her. Release her. I pray right now, God, for the power of God to touch her body. I pray that healing power flow. That healing power flow, Lord, right through her shoulders, right down her back, God, right through her hips, right through her knees, in the name of Jesus. Let the power of God touch her right now. Let the power of God touch her right now. Let healing flow through her body. Let that warm heat of heaven flow right now. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it, there it is. Let it flow. There it is. That's the power of God beginning to touch you right now. Let it flow. Oh my goodness. That's the power of God. Touching you, touching you, touching you. I command pain. Go out of her body now. Loose her right now. In Jesus' name. Loose her right now. In Jesus' name. Ramba Rosa. Yes, yes, yes. Right now. Healing flows. Healing, 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 healing. Right down her back. Right down those ribs. Healing. Let it flow. Let it flow. Down into her hip. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. In Jesus' name. Let it flow right now. Ra 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 ra. Shudaburriburibiriba. The power of God. Loosing her. I come against all fear from this accident now. And I break your assignment in the name of Jesus. I come against fear. Loose her now. Loose her. Go now. All the trauma. Go now. Ra 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 ra. Release your power. Release your power. There's healing here now. There's healing here. There's healing here. Just stand her up, would you? Just, Felicia, we're going to get you to stand up. I want to see how you're doing. Is this okay? We're doing all right? You guys create a great atmosphere of heaven. Now, you're a bit drunk here. How you feeling?
Lightheaded.
Lightheaded. You just got some freedom coming into your world from stuff. Now, how's your body feeling?
Numb.
Numb.
Light.
Just move around a little bit where there was pain. I want to just check out how you're feeling. Don't fall over though. What's that?
Just
a little bit of soreness. Is it feeling better? You're like getting loaded up here. Man, there's healing. Just lift your hands. It's just coming right now. First of all, stuff breaks off and now healing just flows. It just, wow. Wow, there it is again. It's just like waves, waves, waves of healing power. Waves right down your arm, right down your arm, right down your shoulder, right down your back. Waves of healing power. There, there, through your ribs. There, in the name of Jesus. Wow, in the name of Jesus, healing flows. In the name of Jesus. Oh, it's easy. Healing's easy. It's easy to flow. It just flows. Just flows. It's easy to flow. Just flows. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, right now. Right now. Touch you. Touch you. Touch you. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God bless you, man. I tell you, this is what I find often. Healing gets in people's bodies, and you just keep thanking God for it. As the Bible says, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Healing gets in, and it just flows. And then you just cooperate with it. You just, thank you, Jesus. There's healing in my body. I'm getting set free. Hey, thank you so much, C3 South. We love you guys. Great days ahead for you. A new day is dawning.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.